The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
So the Democrat Jihad Squad made a big scene yesterday, had a press conference saying Trump was this, Trump was that, needs to be impeached. And then afterwards, the members of the Democrat Jihad Squad were questioned about the Antifa left-wing terrorism happening. And it's funny because they all had a similar answer. Let's go down the list first with clip 16. Ilhan Omar refuses to condemn left-wing violence.
Will you condemn the Antifa attack in Washington over the weekend? It's easy to condemn terrorism. Will you condemn it?
Is it fear?
Antifa firebombed a facility in Tacoma over the weekend. It's an ICE facility. Will you condemn them for that? I mean, firebombing a concentration camp is kind of a laudable thing. If it actually is a concentration camp, you must be happy that they did it, no? Are you pleased? Should more people do it? It's easy to say no.
Here, I think this is it.
It's really easy to say no.
So there's a reporter from The Rebel asking Ilhan Omar to condemn radical left-wing violence, and she refuses. Boy, the silence is really telling, is it not? And I believe in clip 17, this is Ilhan Omar again getting into a car and refusing to answer the same question.
Will you tell Americans not to be violent anymore? Antifa, to be exact.
Jesus, thank you.
There you go.
Should Antifa stop being violent?
Okay.
So that's the same Rebel reporter asking. You have AOC and Ilhan Omar in the car asking them the same question. Ilhan Omar laughs. Now here's AOC in the halls of Congress being asked to condemn terrorism.
Will you condemn Antifa for the attack in Washington?
We'll be making statements.
It's easy to condemn a terrorist attack. Will you be condemning Antifa?
We'll be making statements.
They firebombed an American facility. Will you condemn them?
Excuse us, we have to get to the minute.
Will you be condemning them? Do you feel like you have some responsibility in the attack with your rhetoric about concentration camps? Are you responsible? Do you feel ashamed?
Just unbelievable. Thank God for that reporter at The Rebel getting these clips. This is powerful stuff. And now here's Ayanna Pressley refusing to condemn terrorism.
Hi, really simple question. Will you condemn Antifa for attacking an ICE facility? It's very simple. Will you tell Americans not to attack violently ICE facilities?
That the women that are walking with the Jihad Squad have a really arrogant attitude. I want to restart this clip because watch this woman's reaction when this reporter from The Rebel asked the question. She literally scoffs. They think this is a joke. They're out here encouraging terrorism.
To Antifa?
Excuse me, sir.
Watch this woman's reaction.
Really simple question. Will you condemn Antifa for attacking an ICE facility? It's very simple.
Like it didn't even happen.
Will you tell Americans not to attack violently ICE facilities? Just say no. It would be a very simple thing to say, and it would go a long way to tell Americans that you're not sympathetic to Antifa.
Thank you.
Are you sympathetic to Antifa?
Excuse me, sir. I'm trying to walk over here.
Why is it a hard thing for you to say? Are they your base? Are you worried that they're not going to vote for you?
Can you stop?
Are you ashamed at all?
I
mean,
this
is a pretty simple answer.
Excuse me, sir.
I know.
You know, I'm going to try to remain more focused and not so angry today, but folks, this tells you everything. And part of the reason why I get up here and yell is because I'm just channeling what the average American feels when they see this crap. This is basically the Democrats admitting they're domestic terrorists. I mean, this is sedition. This is treason. This is unbelievable. Democrats are in full commie takeover mode.
Pretty much stealing
that from Stuart Rhodes. He literally just said that before I went live. I said, you know what? That's so good. I'm going to steal that and claim it as my own. So the Democrats are in full-blown radical commie mode right now to try to take over the United States government. But not even the United States government, just the United States. They want it overrun. They want wide-open borders. They want more debt. They don't want any America. And here's what they don't understand. Stuart Rhodes in studio with me here on this July 16th, 2009 broadcast of the InfoWars.com War Room brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. They keep saying this. I think here's the philosophical difference right now between this is my problem too, that I don't even know what to label people anymore. I don't know where these people are landing on the political map. It seems it's either anti-America or pro-America.
They're communists.
At this point. Okay, so exactly right there.
Led by A.O. Shea.
If you're a communist to me, you're not an American.
Well, they're not a loyal American. They're definitely traitors. They might have been born here and born as Americans, but they're treasonous against their own country.
Like, you might be an American citizen, but you're no American. An American is someone that wants independence. An American is somebody that has grit. An American is somebody that stands up for truth and justice. An American is somebody that gets on their knees to a higher power. These people are not Americans. They don't represent an American. They represent commies. They represent weaklings. They represent liars. There's no Americans there.
No, they're anti-American.
So that's what, this is what my big question was today when you're saying, what do you want to talk about? I look at the news. And I've got this, literally, I'm not even kidding you folks. There had to be thousands of publications calling Trump racist in the last 24 hours. Thousands. You type Trump racist in any search engine. It's never ending. Exactly. It's a joke. I've just got a small stack here. Democrats all tweeting it out. And I'm just sitting here because my frustration is I used to be somebody that didn't understand what was really going on. And I would take things at face value. And I just know the power in that. And the media knows the power in that. And I'm at the point now, and you were saying it's 50-50. I don't even know. But I wonder, what is it? If you could even find a percentile, how many Americans are aware of what's going on, don't take TV news at face value, know that I'm not even saying they like Trump. Because you said it's a team Trump or anti-Trump. I don't even think it's that. Because I know people that don't like Trump, but they know the media is lying about Trump.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to figure out, is there anybody left that is buying this in the public other than just the fringe left out there, the erratic, emotional, deranged left? Does anybody see these stacks of news saying Trump is racist and buy that?
Half the country, unfortunately, I would say about half the country has been indoctrinated to believe that this nation is inherently evil, inherently racist, inherently imperialistic. They've been indoctrinated in colleges, in high school, now down to grade school, to believe this. So there's a large percentage out there. It's not just the fringe. You go into college campus, like you've done in the streets, right? You go to a college campus, you get the same thing in the classrooms. You get the same thing from the professors. It's all across the Democratic Party. So what's really happening is now that the radical communist wing is taking the mask off, the rest of them also believe the same basic tenets of radical Marxist, like Che Guevara style revolutionary communism. It's all part of their party. But the Pelosi's want to hide and veil it. The AOC's want to take it off. So I call her A.O. Shea. She wants to take that thing off and to say, hey, yes, we are communists. That's the only real fight inside the Democratic Party.
And you now even have Republicans saying that Trump's tweets were racist. It's just an embarrassment. The whole thing is an embarrassment. And
they're afraid to be called racist.
And I guess maybe there's something to me there is I'm just so embarrassed by all of this as an American. I don't even know what to think or feel at this point. I can't believe this is going on in my country. I can't believe we have so many liars in Congress and media that just they don't even care.
No.
Well, they don't even care, Stuart.
It's warfare. This is a civil war. We're in a cold civil war, at the very least a lukewarm one.
Well, I was going to say,
it's heating up.
The clips in the first segment. Cortez, Omar, and Presley, not one of them would condemn terror. What? Right. To me, that's a Democrat saying, no, we are violent terrorists. We're endorsing this.
That's a massive dog whistle.
That's saying, no, go out and do it.
Exactly. They're refusing to condemn their comrade because they endorse what he did. That's the entire point of calling these concentration camps. You know, we're all running concentration
calling
camps.
Calling Trump racist.
We're all Nazis. Hitler. They want this. I believe that it's a part of their Claude Piven strategy to overwhelm the system and destroy this country. They actually want a civil war. They think they're going to win that.
Well, they thought Hillary was going to win too. But I don't even want to get into that. I mean, because I feel like we all have that, you know, feeling right now. And I just don't even want to get into that. But I just hope that America sees this, sees what the Democrats are doing. I don't even claim to be a Republican. I'm really not. But they see what the Democrats are doing. They see what the media is doing. And they see where this is going. And I hope that, because I don't want to see a violent revolution in this country.
Yeah.
That's the last thing I want to see. And the more I think about it, I said I don't even want to think about it or talk about it, but it's almost like you have to at this
point. It's the elephant in the room.
It is the elephant in the room. Yeah. Because it's just, because they want it.
They're doing it. You know, that incitement by him was simply one of them taking their rhetoric to its logical conclusion, and it's being used by others that are in his ranks, his fellow compatriots, to advocate for more. Now they're calling for revenge. Avenge Willem is a sign painted on the next to the detention center in Tacoma.
Now, luckily, we have the White House. For the most part, we have the military. The intel community is about split. Congress is about split. You have the deep state, but it's getting drained slowly but surely. But there's still those stay behind networks. There's still, other international networks working against America. But I think what would really happen, because I think about this. I mean, you play out the algorithm in your head. If this really kicks off, they're going to be going to war with police and Border Patrol and military. It's not even going to be with conservatives or Trump supporters. At least that's not really where I see this going, because the Democrats...
It'd be both, actually.
It's a lot harder, though, to ignore violence against civilians and not claim you're inciting a civil war. If they try to demonize these institutions, you know, that seems to be kind of their cover. It's like, oh, we're anti-establishment. We're demonizing institutions like ICE and Border Patrol. Go after them. Well, guess what? People in ICE and Border Patrol, they're tough cookies. They're not going to take crap. They're not going to have left-wing terrorists firebombing their facilities. Another one of these happens, they're going to mount up and be ready. Well, but guess who died? The left-wing radical.
Right. The thing is, though, if you had a series, let's imagine we had a series of further attacks, and an ICE agent was killed. I think you'd see an overwhelming response from the patriots, from the veterans of this country. In fact, it's already happening. You know, we're going to go post outside of ICE facilities to show our support for them. And if there were actually a death and more of a repeat of what just happened, you'll see a groundswell. It'll be patriots in the streets hunting Antifa down. They won't be able to even be out in public anymore as identified Antifa or Redneck Revolt or whatever it is. So it wouldn't just be them against the government. I think Trump needs to put the hammer down, though, and deploy the National Guard to go and protect the ICE facilities to prevent this from happening.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is at this point. I just know where it goes, because the left is not, like I said, if they won't even say, hey, this is violence, we need to stop this, our rhetoric is causing some of this, then that just means it's not going to stop. That just means it's going to get worse. That means their rhetoric's going to get worse. And that means ahead of 2020, we're going to see more domestic terrorism.
They want it. It means they want it. Yeah.
And so I don't know how you try to get out in front of this if you're the president. But, I mean, the president knows America has his back. The military has his back. The police have his back. Border Patrol, ICE. I mean, this is not good.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the Infowars.com War Room. Owen Schroyer here with Stuart Rhodes from OathKeepers.com. We're discussing the current state of the Union. And it always seems to be the same paradox. The tale of two cities. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. America is having great strides, doing better than it's ever done before in many fronts. But then within this big bastion of success that we're having, there are little enclaves of viruses and cancer eating away at the inside. So it is really a paradox what we're going through right now. And we're discussing it here on The War Room with Stuart Rhodes. Before we get back to Stuart Rhodes, it's funny. I told myself on Monday, I was like, all right, you're going to wear a suit today, your first day back in studio, put on the suit and tie. And then I was so busy. I was so busy, I didn't even have time. So I just wore the shirt I had, was wearing all day, and just sat down on the desk right before the show. All right, same thing today. I'm like, all right, you're going to put on the suit and tie. You're going to wear the suit and tie today. Exact same thing. It's like 10 minutes before showtime. I don't have time to put on it. So I threw on my George Washington t-shirt.
I love that shirt.
Available at InfoWarsStore.com. So that's kind of like my last thing. And, you know, here's the funny thing too, Stuart. You've probably been around, you know, television news, mainstream news enough to know what I'm talking about here. But, and I've kind of explained this before with other things. The average TV news host for about 90 minutes up to showtime is sitting in makeup, okay? Most of their prep work is being done for them. Most of their show is magazine style. It's all teleprompter. Prep work before show to get you late breaking news, whatever, to be the most cutting edge, that just really almost doesn't exist in television media except for maybe a few outlets. So 90 minutes before a show, most hosts that you see, yes, males too, are in makeup, having their face and hair done. Not here at InfoWars. We're literally in the news looking for the latest breaking news. I don't even have time to put on a shirt half the time, let alone, you know, comb my hair. So
you're not Shepard Smith, huh?
No, I'm not Shep Smith. Shep Smith might spend 2 hours in makeup. Not that I'm there's sure anything wrong with that. He's rehearsing how many different ways he can say Trump is a racist. But you're supporting the most cutting-edge news here at InfoWars when you shop at InfoWarsStore.com. This t-shirt is available at InfoWarsStore.com, and all t-shirts are currently $17.76. It's the $17.76 worldwide sale. So all apparel, all hats and t-shirts are $17.76. And these are nice t-shirts. The one that I have on right now is a nice blend. I'm not sure what the blend is, but very soft, very comfortable. And it's $17.76, the George Washington Patriot t-shirt. I've got one in black and one in gray. I'm wearing the one in gray today. But all t-shirts and hats are $17.76 at InfoWarsStore.com. And many of the supplements, many of the great popular supplements are on sale for $17.76 as well. You cannot beat that. So it's the $17.76 worldwide sale at InfoWarsStore.com. And you are our sponsors. You decide where InfoWars goes. So fuel up the ship by shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. Stuart and I were discussing in the break. Is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez an ideologue or just a useful idiot? I don't think she has the brain depth to be an ideologue. I think that her brain depth is very shallow, and she just says the first thing that comes to her head. She gets a lot of talking points from the powers that be. Because I just, you know, I look at this, Stuart. I can't imagine someone that's been following politics so long. I think I go crazy. I don't know. Because
I think she's both.
But I see these people talking, I'm like, okay. Because here's what we're dealing with. Either bold-faced liars or people that are just that dumb. That's really what it comes down to. Either they're that dumb or they're that big of liars. Either way, it's not a good situation. But this is what we're dealing with right now. For them to get up there and say Trump is a lawless president and he's racist, for them to print thousands of articles how Trump is racist, for them to say it's concentration camps at the borders, people are murdering people at these concentration camps, they volunteer to come here. I mean, so it's like, how do you even quantify such lies or stupid comments?
Well, they're both. I mean, you went to college. I went to college, undergrad, and then later on went to law school at Yale. And it's exponentially worse than when we were in school. Now they're being indoctrinated over and over again by the mainstream media, by the professors, by their peers, that, and it's all groupthink, that this is a racist country. It's like the religion. Marx is their god. He's their prophet. He's like Allah to them. And this is their religion. And so it's both. They're both, they truly believe what they're doing is right. They have to overthrow a racist system, but they also then manipulate and use everything Trump says against him and twist it to be racist to fit that model. They're like religious zealots. If you're a religious zealot, everything you see in the world must fit your model. That's what's happening.
Just look at this. And this is just the first page of the search results. CNN, backlash after Trump's racist tweets. Cortez on Twitter, you have a racist mind in your head. You have a racist heart in your chest. That's why you violate the rights of children. Again, they volunteer to come. It just infuriates me. And tell congresswomen who represent your home borough to go back to my country. No, he said go back, fix it, and tell us how it's done. But they leave that out. The Washington Post, look at this. Trump's racist tweets were written in the White House, which was built by slaves. You know, the Washington Times.
There you go. This country is racist. Everything about it is racist.
The Washington Post is racist. George Washington had slaves. So yep. I guess, you know, so shut that down. USA Today. House GOP leaders refuse to condemn Trump's racist tweets. CNN. House to vote on resolution to condemn Trump's racist comments. Breitbart.com. Mitt Romney's Trump's comments are destructive. Racist. The Hill, CNN, MSNBC say racist more than 1,100 times regarding Trump go back tweet since Sunday. 1,100 times. And then this is what really irks me, because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. From AP News, polls show sour views of race relations in Trump's America. Oh, well, wait a second. This is what the media is doing. And this is post-Obama. So, I mean, it's just infuriating, Stuart. And I know I'm not the only one. I'm trying to remain calm today. But this is really infuriating because I see what's happening. And I see that these people want to destroy my future.
Well, they want to kill the country. And their great Trump card is racism. That's the race card. They adopted identity politics back in the late 60s, early 70s. They went away from pushing the workers of the world unite to pushing identity politics. And in particular, that's why I keep bringing up Che Guevara. They want to push this idea that this is conquered land, stolen land. It needs to be retaken, the Reconquista, and given back to indigenous people and what they call the, you know, the people of the earth, which is anybody who's not white. So that's
the exact opposite of what they're doing in Europe. That's what I'm saying. These are not real ideologues because they don't have a clue. It's honestly mind-blowing. Stuart Rhodes, VoteKeepers.com, is with us for the rest of the hour.
As we gather this evening in the joy of freedom, we remember that all share a truly extraordinary heritage. Together, we are part of one of the greatest stories ever told, the story of America. It is the epic tale of a great nation whose people have risked everything for what they know is right and what they know is true. As long as we stay true to our cause, as long as we remember our great history, as long as we never, ever stop fighting for a better future, then there will be nothing that America cannot do.
Infowars.com, tomorrow's news today. Full power of the Republic in the name of Jesus Christ. Full power! Damn the torpedoes, go straight at them.
Infowars.com/show.
There's cucks.
You're fucking white male.
And then there's the cuck slayer. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Well, Welcome back to the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Owen Troyer, Stuart Rhodes in studio. We have a hearing happening right now in Congress on social media censorship. I forget. I actually saw the list of speakers at this, but it's live right now. I forget the name speaking, but let's go live to a hearing on social media censorship happening right now in Congress.
Policies and would come down and, should come down if it is news footage that another.
Well, let's assume that this is not any of those categories that you can't.
So if it violates, just to be clear, if it violates our policies, it should come down. I wouldn't know why it would be up. If it doesn't violate our policies, obviously, would that's
a different matter. That in and of itself breaking the shooting footage, wouldn't that just raise a lot of red flags? Wouldn't it violate?
It would depend really upon the nature of the video, in all honesty. There are sometimes news events that would be things that might be difficult for viewers to watch, but nonetheless would be, put out there on major news channels and would be probably appropriately included. But again, I can't really tell from looking at
this. Is it the same screenshot that I'm referring to? So, again, this is a screenshot from May 30, 2019. It's pretty recent. Showing that Andy Stein flagged this video for Google, it appears that the only thing Google did in response is label the video as adult content and ask users to confirm their age before watching the video. I would think this would be just taken down. And what is Google going to do to ensure that this video and others like it are removed from YouTube quickly, and that they don't come back? So why would you allow people to view something like this rather than taking it down?
Again, Senator, it's difficult for me to comment on the specific video without knowing what it is. There will be videos that will
so
be news footage
Hirano,
that
really
may be
wasting time
disturbing
here.
To people.
It's the exact opposite. It's why aren't you censoring more?
In which case,
what they're saying
giving
here.
It the appropriate label may be,
just pull every video down.
On the other hand, if it is violates and transgresses one of our policies, whether it's the policy against hoax videos, whether it's any of the other policies that we might have
against
we would then
videos,
look to take it down. So, again, like, difficult for me to say,
Washington
but we're happy
Post
to look
video.
Into
no, not a hoax video. Trump phrases.
Because I started again, I'm not sure where I am on the time frame here.
I think I had about 2 minutes left. Where I am. I'm Maisie Hirono from Hawaii.
Oh,
where
I'm
am
so
I?
Sorry. well, you all are being very nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Blackburn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bhatia, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Senator.
We appreciate it. About a year ago, I said that I felt like 2018 marked the end of the age of innocence for the internet. And if you look forward to this summer,
about censorship.
We've got Facebook,
it's about more censorship.
Has been hit with a $5 billion
Google and censorship
fine
through search
from the
engines
FTC,
subcommittee
in
hearing.
In my opinion, that's not enough. It should have been $50 billion. We all know they've
yes.
been
Dennis
in violation.
Dennis Prager is speaking at this. That's who I was
privacy
thinking
privacy agreements. Wow. You all
Prager, you. I don't know if he's spoken yet. I guess he's speaking
Department
next.
Inquiry, and if Microsoft's experience with their 20-year antitrust saga is any indication, then, I hope you realize this is very serious. And it's a serious inquiry. And it seems like the problems around big tech, as it has become a mature industry, that they're just mushrooming. And when we talk about privacy or lack thereof, data security, lack thereof, offenders that are the biggest and the worst offenders, unfortunately for you all, people put Google at the top of the list. So we appreciate that you're here. I want to start with you and talk a little bit about prioritization of search results.
And again,
I think this is important.
They don't talk about the real issues. The real issue here is until your Google has been caught on camera admitting that they want to rig elections with search result manipulation.
They stifle conservative voices.
That's what you should be answering Karen Bhatia right now, the Vice President for Government Affairs and Public Policy. What are you going to do about Google manipulating search engine results to skew elections?
Yeah, and committing massive fraud. I mean, you know, this is Ted Cruz earlier today talked about this. When you sign on to any of these social media platforms, you know, YouTube or anything, you're expecting that your views are going to be shared with your followers, for example, not shadow banned and muted. And that's right. That's fraud right there and breach of contract. So this is what they should be talking about is the massive breach of contract and fraud, let alone massive, you know, censorship and antitrust.
You did that until
and I never
local
got my 100,000 follower
providers really
plaque
pushed
from YouTube
back on you and said you can't do that. Now we see what you're doing is consolidating many of the travel offerings together. And so you're trying to push forward to dominance in the travel market, and you're doing that through an app
yes,
called
we're all
Trips.
Concerned about the travel
and
market,
now,
Senator Blackburn.
You're going to be armed with all of these details, all of this data, all of this search data from people that use your service, and you're going to use that prioritization to wipe
you know, I think
out
we're looking
competition
at another
from travel booking sites.
Cultural, societal
and I'm concerned
shift
about
here,
the threat
which is
to competition
just
that Google
dry politicians like this being a thing of the past. Because
oh no, we're cursed with them forever. Never going to get rid of these.
Please don't tell me that's true.
No. That's wishful thinking. That's Pollyanna thinking there, man. You're never going to get rid of these people.
Yes,
it's like watching paint dry.
We seek to provide users, Senator, with responses to their queries
sir,
that are most
yes
relevant,
no.
most
sir,
relevant and authoritative.
Yes
so,
or no? You prioritize?
Unless our services, what we would put forward, would be more relevant and authoritative.
Okay. Does Google know if its own search results are better than the third-party competitors?
It would depend entirely on the different search that you search, you know.
So you have all the data, but you're not quantifying and you're
so
not
so if you search Clinton body count on anything but Google, you might find the real story.
Day. Sometimes we would surface information
okay.
that we would have.
She's wasting time intentionally.
Yes, you do prioritize, and yes, you do use that information. People aren't dumb. They can check how those search results come in. When the FTC investigated Google from 2011 to 2013,
stuff,
yeah. it discovered a business practice that is called
edge.
Co-occurrence signals. That is, Google products would be triggered to appear above the 10 blue links when the appearance of a competitor occurred in the page rank results. Does Google still use any form of co-occurrence signals to suppress the competition in search results?
Senator, you're deeper into that than I know the immediate answer to. I'll have to get back to you on that. I will tell you that the FTC...
Why don't you submit something in writing then for the committee so that we have that? This is a practice you're not supposed to be conducting at this point. You've been investigated for it. Okay, on Monday...
All right, well, I'll tell you what. That about put me to sleep. That's almost as effective as knockout sleep aid from InfoWarsStore.com. So basically, if you can't sleep at night, you've got two options. Senator Blackburn at a committee hearing and or knockout sleep aid from InfoWarsStore.com, which is on sale for $17.76. You combine those two,
you're done.
You're out. I mean, that is it. Man. So it's part of the $17.76 worldwide sale. But I think that Stuart and I are going to have to get some Patriot Blend coffee from InfoWarsStore.com to rejuvenate ourselves. But we will monitor that. And once somebody a little more enlightening, informational, and not as boring as cutting grass. Cutting grass is actually probably more fun than listening to Senator Blackburn. Specifically, Dennis Prager. I want to hear him speak, so we'll be monitoring that. Stuart Rhodes still in studio with us. And we will be back in a jiff.
That was painful.
Infowars.com/show.
you've been on air too much lately. You're having too much fun around here.
I am.
Your voice is going out. You sound like me after my third rally in a row or something. We're going to be monitoring with Stuart Rhodes the Google and censorship through search engine subcommittee hearing. We'll see if anybody wants to bring up something relevant while this is going on. We'll be specifically looking to hear from Ted Cruz and Dennis Prager. So we won't bore you with any more Blackburn or Hirono brain here for the rest of this broadcast. You know, but I've got some other news. Let's kind of just pivot a little bit here, Stuart, before we get back into that at the other side. You know, there's a story today from the Washington Post. Karen Tumulty, who leftists love this girl. And she writes, it's time for Obama to speak up. And I've been wondering when this trend would catch on. Because Obama has remained, for the most part, silent on the fake issues that the left is trying to use to bring down Trump or America or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Obama's been very silent. And I think it has a lot of people questioning why, you know, what's the deal? Is he waiting for something? There's some theories out there. My theories would be, one, I guess I would say there's three potential theories in no particular order. One, he just doesn't want to get into the politics right now. It's just so toxic, he doesn't want anything to do with it. Two, Trump basically has sat him down and said, look, dude, I got the dirt on you. You shut your mouth or we're going to release it all. So he's being silent, which could either be Trump literally saying that, or he knows Trump knows he's spied. I mean, he knows he's caught. He knows he's a cooked goose on the Spygate thing. Or three, he's holding his tongue until he's ready to endorse a Democrat presidential candidate. Could it be Michael/Michelle Obama?
Yes. That's my guess.
So that's what you think is happening
here?
Yes. Because I've been wondering, because Obama's a hero to the left. The left needs a hero. They have no leadership. Obama's kind of silent in the wings. Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder, when is the left going to start pressuring Barack Obama? And could it be a situation where there's so much pressure applied? Because he's considered like a moderate now. Where Obama has to jump the shark and come out and make political statements before the timing was aligned, before the planets aligned for him to come out and endorse Michelle or, you know, whoever it may be, to use that political capital that Obama has, which is like the last, it's like the last stack of chips that the Democrats have is Obama's political capital. They're waiting to play it. So you think he's waiting to endorse Michelle?
Yeah, I think they're going to say, what's going to happen is they're going to say to reunite the party and to put an end to the racism of America.
Yes.
We got to have a woman black president. And it's going to be either Kamala or it's going to be Michelle. My guess is that's why he did not endorse Biden, is he's waiting for that. He's leaving it out there for Michelle to take if she wants it. And that's why they destroyed Biden. That's why Biden's been thrown under the bus and he's been sacrificed.
You know, I'm not ready to say that Barack is going to endorse Michelle, but I do think that that's the strategy, is hold all Obama's political capital close to your chest until the right time to play it.
Yeah.
And I do think that they're, I mean, part of me thinks, yeah, they could go for Michelle, considering they have nothing right now. I mean, the Democrats have nothing. They've got zero, zilch, nada. And
thanks.
The more I think that these fake polls are coming out and the crazier they're getting with the new faces of the Democrat Party being radical leftists, they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to do something because they're desperate to get Trump out. They know none of their candidates can do it.
Michelle can. I think she could.
And I don't think, and here's the other thing too. People always throw out names like Oprah or The Rock or stuff like that. Mark Cuban. Those people are too smart to run against Trump. They don't hate Trump enough to, you know, lunge at him the first chance they get with a pair of scissors or something, you know? So I think they're like, I don't want to go against Trump. Trump's too good. He'll beat me. If they really have a political, you know, future in mind, they probably wait. I think Michelle is probably the leading candidate. Hillary Clinton actually gave a speech Hey guys, find out where Hillary Clinton gave a speech. It was either yesterday or Sunday. And it was like, oh, Hillary getting ready to run. The press was writing stories. This sounded like a campaign speech. It sounded like the Hillary back on the campaign. It's like, oh, is Hillary?
I ain't no ways tired.
I ain't no ways tired. Is that what she said? Yeah. I ain't no ways tired. Boy, she doesn't do a good honky accent very well. She just go back to her roots.
But Michelle's been in the news. She was in there saying they were afraid of me, a black woman in politics. I think she's laying the she's paving the way for her run. I think this is all smoke and mirrors. Oh, I don't want to run. I'm not political. That's all part of her image, is that I can do it. I've been in politics, but I'm not political and I don't want it. I'm a reluctant candidate. Then it's like, oh, Michelle, you have to run to save the country. Otherwise, the country's going to be ripped apart by racists, by Nazis. You must come and save us. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's her strategy. I'll bet you $1,000 she's going
to
run.
I actually hope it's Michelle Obama, because it would actually be more fun to have somebody competing. And, I mean, can you imagine the memes when we get Michelle Obama up there? It's going to be too good.
I think she has a good chance. I mean, they have to resurrect their lost black vote. They lost the support of a lot of black people in America because of things that Trump has been doing. The prison reform and having that guy, you know, he was in prison, now he's in the White House, and actual prison reform, things that are actually helping, you know, the black people that are in prison. I think they've lost a lot of capital with black Americans, with the economy also. This is their way to get that back. We got your vote before. We had the first, you know, half black man in the White House. Now we're going to get your vote again for the first black woman. Be historic. Come vote again. And then get the woman's vote also. So I think she's very dangerous, actually, for Trump.
You know, I just have to get it. I just have to talk about it.
About the Michael thing?
Yeah, because, look, here's why it's so funny to me. Because obviously there's the rumor mills and there's weird videos where it looks like she has a cod piece flopping around in her dress and she has the wide shoulders. She has the male finger length signature.
Joan Rivers dying suddenly.
The Joan Rivers statements, right, and other such things. And people claim they found records of Michael Robinson, right, you know, before. Okay. I mean, whatever. I'm open-minded. I think it's kind of funny. And I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. But here's what really is so funny about it to me is Michelle Obama was lauded as the most graceful, just extraordinary, dignified woman. Her grace and her beauty and her femininity. How hilarious would it be if it actually came out Michelle was a man, a transsexual?
She might poll better on the Democratic side.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's the angle.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the angle. Say our first transsexual president. Why not? Why not? They claim that, I mean, if Michelle Obama got pregnant, that'd be the first man to get pregnant.
Nancy Pelosi just got shouted down 10 minutes ago on the House floor.
Really?
Unprecedented historical deal. And crew came up and told me in the hall, and I said, that's great. Go tell people that are on air. News organization. Next hour, we'll have that exclusive footage.
So the Democrats are eating themselves right now.
She got shot down by her own party.
You had Lacey Clay come out and make statements the other day that calling this whole race card that these new leftists, AOC, and keep playing, it's not working. And this was Lacey Clay is a radical Democrat from St. Louis. I remember growing up dealing with this guy. Radical Democrat. And for him to be denouncing the race card was stunning, because this guy played the race card like it was the only card in the deck for decades. For him to come out and say, oh, no, we can't be using the race card. The Democrats are eating each other because they're hungry. They don't know what to do. Beto was supposed to be the hero. He's polling at zero. Biden is he's folding like a cheap tent. He wants out. And now Pelosi's getting shouted down. We're going to have that footage.
Right, they're forming their circular firing squad. And by the Democrats turning on their own, it was Republican actually shouted them out. It wasn't clear. It just shows the disintegration of what's happening. And the way Trump's tricked her into openly endorsing the Gang of Four is pretty big.
Yep.
Yeah, the Jihad Four. The Jihad Squad is what we call it. The Jihad Squad that refuses
That's
to denounce.
The Jihad Squad.
It's the Jihad Squad. Don't worry. The Jihad Squad doesn't denounce political violence. They love it.
Four giant Jihad Squad.
He-Man! He-Man! To fight the Jihad Squad on the other side of this break.
War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, Stuart Rhodes and I are having some fun laughing at the potential of a Michael Obama revelation. Oh, would it be... I would cheer it on. I'd throw confetti for Michael Obama to run for president, or Michelle, whoever it is.
Now, Michelle would run, and then Michael would be unveiled after she's in the White House.
We did it. We did it. Oh, look at the beauty and grace of Michelle. I mean, Michael. I wonder... You know, actually, Stuart, you may not know this. We're about to go to a clip here. In fact, I'm going to tease it. I'm going to tease you right now. I'm going to do a classic radio tease right now. I forgot to tell you this. We actually discovered the origin of the whole Michelle Michael Obama thing. We actually figured out what deal is happening there. So I'll tell you that on the other side. First, though, let's go to this clip where, you know, it's funny. I grew up playing soccer. I always loved playing soccer, and I saw at the detention facilities how all of these migrants were playing soccer. I was kind of jealous. I was thinking, man, I'd like to go kick the ball around with these guys. So here it is, the Southern Border Facility summer camp.
The United States is running concentration camps on our southern border, and that is exactly what they are.
Two pairs of bunk beds in each bedroom. And the living room.
They are concentration camps.
HHS provides the teens with 6 hours daily classroom instruction, access to arts and crafts, 3 meals a day and snacks, access to call centers to reconnect with family, then legal services. And as the contractor running the holding facility describes, most importantly, they provide playtime.
Is it school's sports day? Summer camp? With freshly made beds, eat all you can buffet, and the inevitable video games.
The fact that concentration camps are now an institutionalized practice in the home of the free is extraordinarily disturbing.
Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
Some protesters replaced 3 flags at the front of the facility with a Mexican flag and an upside-down U.S. flag spray-painted with abolish ICE.
You are more concerned with a f***ing piece of cloth than people who are locked in cages. Children, right in front of you.
You know that flag and those troops?
There were American flags hanging all over these facilities. That children being separated from their parents in front of an American flag.
Mr. Speaker, we do have a crisis at our border. It is one of morality. As we have seen this current strategy unfold, intentional and cruelly created by the Trump administration.
If you're not happy here, then you can leave.
White supremacists! White supremacists!
You know, the only thing to kind of, because I tend to get angry, but I realize the only thing to really combat the madness with is madness. You just have to be mad with them. So I think I might have to, I think Lefto the Clown may have to come on air with us. Do you know Lefto?
No, not yet.
Oh, you don't know Lefto? We may have to get Lefto on for a segment today.
Oh, no.
Because the only way to combat total insanity is with total insanity.
Fight fire with fire.
Exactly, man. Exactly. So I think Lefto the Clown is going to have to stop by the studio. I'm going to have my people get in touch with him.
How do I get into a concentration camp like that? I want to go hang out.
That's what I'm saying. I wish I had some time to go kick the soccer ball around. It looked a lot of fun.
I'd probably gain weight, though.
You think?
Diet. Oh,
Three meals a day on the buffet?
Unlimited french fries and hamburgers? Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh, Slackjaw's in studio. Oh, he can't even keep his hat on. Typical Slackjaw. Can't even keep a hat on his head. But, hey, it's tough. I mean, it's a constant. I remember. Don't you remember how great the Jews got at soccer when they got sent to the concentration camps? They've won so many. Israel does so well in the World Cup ever since the 40s because they played so much soccer in those concentration camps.
People are like, how did Israel get so good at soccer? That's all they did in the concentration camps. What the hell do you think the Jews were doing the whole time?
And video games.
Video games? That's how they got good at video games. I've got two big breaking news stories to get to right now with Stuart Rhodes in studio. And I'm actually so glad that this is happening. I'm going to play this clip in a second. House chairman scolds Nancy Pelosi for personality attack on Trump on House floor. This is actually big because I've been thinking to myself, it's time for Republicans to take the gloves off. I literally said that yesterday. This needs to continue. These Democrats and their rhetoric need to be matched on the Hill with Republicans saying, you're liars, you're scum. I can't believe you're doing this to our country. So maybe this video clip that we have will break that camel's back. But I promised Stuart I would do this. Stuart, we know the mystery behind Michelle Obama's codpiece. There is an object in her pants. It's true. It is phallic in nature. And she always has one in her pants, and, you know, people notice it. But we figured out what it is. It's just an InfoWars Life protein bar. She carries around, she won't leave the house without it. She's obsessed with the InfoWars Life protein bars. So she has one nestled, you know, gently in her pants at all times. Because people keep playing me these videos. Hey, what's this flopping around in Michelle Obama's, you know, dress or whatever? And so I'm thinking, huh, I mean, there's something that it was just a protein bar. So Joan Rivers can rest in peace. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a Johnson. It was just an InfoWars Live protein bar. So does that make you feel better, Stuart?
I'm not convinced. I think it might be a protein bar, but not.
Not an InfoWars Live protein bar. Okay. Anyway, you can get the InfoWars Life protein bars, not in Michelle Obama's pants. Don't do that. That would be assault. But you can go to Info. Don't steal Michelle Obama's protein bar. Trust me.
Unless you're Barack, then you can do that.
Barack is the only one with the go-ahead to get Michelle's protein bar. But you need to go to InfoWarsStore.com to get your protein bars. They're on sale right now. Read the reviews for yourself. The best protein bar I've ever had. Honestly, I ditched. I'm not talking about Michelle. So if you quit laughing, Stuart, Stuart thinks this is a joke. I'm not eating Michelle Obama's protein bar. That's Barack's job. All right? When Barack gets hungry, he says, Michelle, you know, let's see it.
Let's see your trouser protein bar. Man.
Okay. I'm sorry. We're inappropriate. I'm being inappropriate. I should have probably taken some brain force to focus. It's just this is kind of my gallows humor way of dealing with the insanity that we have instead of yelling and screaming. I'd rather just laugh up here. But seriously, folks, please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. The 1776 worldwide special is happening right now. And look, you know, we sell great products, but we are users of the products too. I drink the InfoWars coffee, the Patriot Blend. Me and Stuart both have a cup of it, fresh blend. Right here. I take all the supplements. I wear the T-shirts. So it's look, we sell you stuff that is household items like shampoo and body wash and toothpaste. I mean, everybody uses that stuff. Water filters, air filters. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. Please support us today so that InfoWars is on air tomorrow. Okay, now let's go to this clip. This is big, Stuart, because it could be a breaking back moment, or it could really embarrass Republicans in the future. I hope it's the breakback of Democrats getting away with this rhetoric. Here is Doug Collins. Here is Representative Doug Collins shouting down Nancy Pelosi.
Yet the president's comments about our colleagues this weekend show that he does not share those American values. These comments from the White House are disgraceful and disgusting.
Okay, see, pause. Now, I'm sorry. Restart it over because we need to play this whole clip. But I can't help myself here. And this is like, I don't want to be a politician. I really don't want to run. But this is like why I would want to be in there. When she says, President Trump doesn't have the American values, I would be like, excuse me, you're the anti-American party.
You're the party that wants open borders. You're the party that says kneel for the flag. You're the party that says America was never great. And then they can shut me down and kick me out or whatever. But at least I would do something.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So that's why I'm like, how can Republicans sit here and allow the Democrats to do this and not fight? So let's actually play the clip without me interrupting. Go ahead.
Yet the president's comments about our colleagues this weekend showed that he does not share those American values. These comments from the White House are disgraceful and disgusting, and these comments are racist. How shameful to hear him continue to defend those offensive words, words that we have all heard him repeat, not only about our members, but about countless others. Our caucus will continue to forcefully respond to those attacks on our members, which reflect a fundamental disrespect for the beautiful diversity of America. There is no place anywhere for the president's words, which are not only divisive, but dangerous, and have legitimized and increased fear and hatred of new Americans and people of color. It's so sad because you would think that there would be a given that we would universally in this body just say, of course, of course.
Of course you're a liar.
But and there's no excuse for any response to those words, but a swift and strong unified condemnation. Every single member of this institution, Democratic and Republican, should join us in condemning the president's racist tweets. To do anything less would be a shocking rejection of our values and a shameful abdication of our oath of office to protect the American people. I urge a unanimous vote and yield back the balance of my
vote. I was just going to give the General Speaker of the House if she would like to rephrase that comment.
I have cleared my remarks as a parliamentarian before I read them.
And take it. And I ask the words to be taken down. I make a point of order. The gentlewoman's words are unparliamentary and risk ready to be taken down.
The chair will remind all members, please, please do not make comments toward personality-based comments. The gentleman from Georgia is recognized.
I made a point of order that the gentlewoman's armed parliamentary and request they be taken down.
Is the gentleman making a demand that the words be taken down?
I request that the gentlewoman's words are unparliamentary and request that they be taken down.
All members will suspend. The clerk will now report the words.
You know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open up the phone lines. I'm going to give out the number right now. 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. And here's my challenge. Because you notice Nancy Pelosi didn't quote a tweet. She didn't provide a direct quote from the president. I'd like to see what comment or what sentence or anything from Trump's tweets was racist. I'd like to actually see the racism. To say go back to whatever country you're from, that's not racist. How is that racist? You don't know what country he's talking about. He's talking about Denmark. He'd be talking about China. He could be talking about South Africa. He'd be talking about, so how is that? They don't know anything. He'd be talking about Mexico. There's no racism. There's no inherent racism in that.
Well, he's talking about Somalia. And why is it racist to say you come from Somalia, as Omar did? You came from a failed state. Like he said, doesn't
now that's the assumption.
Government.
Obviously, that's the people call it subtweeting.
But even if it's not, even if that was what he was talking about, that's not racist.
It's still not racist.
Yeah.
So I'm serious. So I want, do whatever you want with this callers, or maybe so we get some liberals to call in. I'm dead serious. In fact, I want liberals to call in. I want the people that hate Trump that listen to this show every day to call in and tell me the racist comment from Trump's tweet. I'd like to actually hear it. I'd like to see and hear the quote that is racist from Trump's Twitter, because I've yet to see it.
Well, in his follow-up, he says he calls them out as being communist. This is the ideology they're pushing. He calls it out explicitly. He's focused on their ideology. That's why leftists now are starting to say, if you call us communist, that's just a code word. It really means the N-word. That communist means that. You're being racist.
Wow. But they are communists.
Yeah. But you can't say that, though. Well, you're racist now.
Okay. Wow.
That's the new
world. Yeah.
It's all
the world is getting more confused.
And
well, it's real simple. You say anything, it's racist.
Hey, don't ever interrupt a black octopus like that ever again. I identify as a black octopus now. All right? I'm a squid, actually. I'm a squid. I'll ink you.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
So this is incredible. Stuart Rhodes from oathkeepers.org. Stuart Rhodes is with me in studio. Pointed this out to me. Robert Barnes retweeted this. I'm trying to find the name of the woman. But she now says that the word communist is the new N-word. Which, of course, is so absurd. And this woman is black. Which makes it even more absurd. And so I'm trying to find this tweet so I can get her name. She claims she's an artist. She's big on Twitter. She's got 250,000 followers.
Bree Newsom is her name.
Bree Newsom says that saying someone is communist is just code word for the new N-word, which doesn't make sense for so many different reasons. It just shows you how unhinged they are. And how they really just want to say the most radical things. They don't care if there's no logic, no reasoning, no common sense behind it. It's just say something radical.
Well, it's because they're coming out as open communists, but now you can't talk about it. And it's because Trump called them communists in his tweets. So if Trump uses a term, they're going to twist it as being racist. He's calling them communists because he doesn't like black people and brown people. That's the argument.
But that doesn't even make sense. Who?
I
don't know. Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Nobody sits here and equates communism to black people. I don't. I mean, I've never. If anything, you equate. I mean, I just equate it to a political ideology,
right?
Which doesn't have a skin color. But I guess when you're a leftist, everything has a skin color.
What's your false consciousness? What you really do?
That's probably my white privilege saying that, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
How dare I?
Yeah. You presume that communists are white people. Although what you really mean is you hate black people.
The funny thing is, I put this out a while ago. It was like a popular tweet I put out. I wish communism was still like used as a popular insult. I wish we insulted it, be like, you damn commie. Like, whoa, I ain't no commie. It's like, you're a commie. Like, that used to be an insult. Like, someone called you a commie. You said, them's fighting words. Now someone calls you a commie, you're like, damn right, bigot.
Exactly.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah, racist.
If you don't like communism, you're a racist bigot.
Right, exactly. Goes back to their entire, this is their revolutionary ideology.
This is unbelievable, yeah. Man. So they say that these Trump tweets are racist. I can't find any racism in them. I've opened up the phone lines. They're loaded up. I want to get leftists. I want to get Democrats to call in and show me the racism in Trump's tweets. I guarantee you they couldn't do it. In fact, that's a man on the street video. You know, hey, well, you know, we've got everyone saying Trump's tweets are racist. Can you show me the racist tweet here? There is no racism. So let's go out to the phone lines. Let's go. Let's see here. Let's start at the top with Jerome in New York. Go ahead, Jerome.
Hey, Owen. Let me tell you a little something. This is old Jerome, the hillbilly from Texas up here in New York, the pessimist. Let me tell you a little something, you guys. No matter what he says or what President Trump does, our beloved president, they're on him. It don't matter what he says or does. They're going to keep on owning him. Give me a couple of minutes here. Who's the one that stood up today? She was sworn in and calling an MF. Think about that. Now, let's talk about racism. Who did he pardon from a life sentence that she got convicted for some drug deal? But wait a minute. Here's one that's really good. Them three little thugs that went over to China playing basketball, go to Louis Vuitton, shoplift. I'm going to tell you what. They were arrested. There's a 99.9% of conviction rate over there. They walked out.
Oh, yeah. That's such a great point. If Trump didn't go to bat for those basketball players, I mean, it doesn't even matter. I mean, I guess for the context, it matters that they were black. But, yeah, they could have been white, too. The point is, if Trump doesn't go to bat for those basketball players, they're in a Chinese prison right now. Guaranteed.
Yeah, that's not fun in those prisons. I'm going to tell you what happens to you over there. What they do, once you, and they got a 99.9% conviction rate over there. Once that they charge you, you don't get out.
No lawyer. Yeah. No lawyer's getting that theft charge down to a littering fine.
No, there's no plea bargaining over there, man. When you're in jail over there, it's like being in the military. They drill all day long. You exercise drill, and when you go in, hey, it's not good. But, you know, it don't matter what our beloved president does or says. That's all they have. That's all they have. Nazi, racist, bigot. That's it, man.
I'm asking this to our caller and Stewart. At what point do these people in the media just become the boy that cried wolf? I mean, how many times can they call racism? How many times can they call fake news before the American public just doesn't listen at all anymore? I mean, I feel like we're almost there, but not totally.
Well, they're losing a lot. That's why the walkaway movement is so real. I think a lot of Black and Hispanic Americans are starting to realize it's been played for decades.
And Candace Owens is so popular.
Sure. So, you know, it is starting to lose its effect. Unless they're a radical communist, they still believe it. They're the true believers. Like this woman. You should read her tweets. She's convinced this is a white nationalist country.
They want this country turned into communism. Socialism / communist, it's the same thing. I don't care what anybody says.
No, and I'll tell you this, too. We already live in a socialist country. We've got more welfare programs here. We give out more humanitarian aid. This is already a socialist country.
Hey, one last point, man. This is something that I've been mad or heck about all day. This Escobar, this congresswoman from El Paso, her and her husband are conspiring to illegally bring people in this country. Of course, you know what her husband is, right? He's a judge. He's what you call an administrative judge over there in El Paso. So she runs over to the Catholic churches on Sunday and recruits people, tells them how to lie to get in the country, then runs them through his court. I've been calling my congressman. That needs to be stopped today. I mean, that's ridiculous there. That's a felony.
Oh, yeah. The Democrats get away with open treason all day long. I'm really getting sick of it. Thanks for the call, Jerome. Let's go to Jim in Georgia. Jim, have you ever seen a racist Trump tweet?
I've read nothing at all racist in Trump's tweets. Nothing.
But the Washington Post said he's racist and he's in the White House, which was built by slaves. So he could just say, hi, I love America, and I think that's probably racist to them.
So let me ask you both, what do you think is the real end game, the goal here? Because anybody with sense at all knows he's not a racist. What's the end goal?
You know, here's the interesting part about that question is the message is so, I mean, they're all on message. It's like that video I shot. I don't know if you saw, I was confronting Congressman Al Green about calling Trump a racist. And I said, you please stop saying that? I mean, you're going to incite civil war. I've been assaulted in the streets. People think I'm a racist because I support Trump. And he's like, oh, you shouldn't be assaulted. You shouldn't be censored. And I said, well, will you disavow your comments that Trump's, he is a racist bigot. So to me, that's just their messaging.
Yeah.
They're being told, do not get off message. No matter what, Trump is a racist bigot, period, end of sentence. Never say otherwise. That seems to be, I guess they think America's so stupid or so, I don't even know, desperate for identity politics that's going to be their victory play.
Yeah, that is their play. Yeah, that's it.
I just don't see that being a victory play. I really don't get it. I think Americans want policy.
No, but the audience is their true believer front line foot soldiers. It's the future Van Spronson.
They don't even shower. These people stink, Stuart.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The American way of life
is under attack. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
All right, I asked the audience to call in and show me a racist Trump tweet because it's all over the news. It's all in the Democrat halls of Congress. Trump's racist tweets, I'm yet to see it, so I've challenged the audience to call in. The lines are filled right now, but Stuart, you brought something up. I've talked about this before, but I think it really is so key because it really explains so much. And it's hard to really get into depth and specifics of this, but in a general conversation, it really explains so much. And that's this concept of nihilism. Now, I've talked about how in my life, I went through a period of my life for about 2 years, maybe 3 years, where I was a nihilist. I was a nihilist. Somebody asked me, I would have said, I am a nihilist. And in those about 2 years of my life, I was the worst person I've ever been. I treated other people badly. I was selfish. I was a punk. I ended up in a lot of trouble. I treated myself badly. I was destructive. I was degenerative. And I mean, I'm glad that I went through all that because it put me where I'm at today. But of my whole life, you know, I'm not this whole like regrets person, but of my whole life, that was the time period where I would say, wow, I wish I would have behaved better. I wish I would have been smarter. I wish I didn't have that ideology. And it's not that a nihilist ideology necessarily provokes any type of behavior. It's just, it takes away all inhibitions for you to be a moral human being, for you to care about truth and justice, right, and for you to really even think really about what you're thinking, saying, or doing. Mm-hmm. And so when you started talking about how this whole Marxist communist revolution has a real base in nihilism, it really reminds me of my couple years when I was like that, and I was just a punk. I was a punk, and I look back at that, and I'm thinking, wow, I behaved like a punk back then. No wonder these young Democrats, no wonder these Trump protesters are behaving like punks. They're nihilists. They believe in nothing. They don't believe in anything. They don't believe in themselves. And so it's that when you believe in nothing, then there's no consequences to your actions, and there's no inhibitions, so therefore just do whatever feels good.
Well, it's part of the destruction of Western civilization. It was part of the Soviet plan, was to crush and destroy our religious base and our patriotic base and our base in morality. And that's what they did. And you can look at all these professors in colleges, unless it's about Marxism. Marxism is the only truth. The only truth is the struggle to kill capitalism. So look at these Antifa on the street. They don't believe in anything except that they must destroy capitalism. They must kill it in order to have a future of any kind of peace and justice or whatever. But other than that, though, they don't believe in anything else.
Well, and there's a HBO show, miniseries called Chernobyl. I don't know if you've heard of it. Got good reviews, and I started it. And it actually does a really great job illustrating that in how when the Russians were responding to the Chernobyl explosion and breakdown, they just basically put all faith in the state. The state will figure it out. The state will provide. The state will maintain. The state, and it's just, yes, and they all got fired up for the state. And the one guy that spoke out against the state, he was the bad guy. He was the outcast. He was the guy, the oddball. Of course, he ended up being right. You know, the place was collapsing, but the state was there, the state. But that's what it is. It's an unbridled faith in the state, even though the state could never deliver for you. That's like, you know, if you're a Christian and I pray and I'm like, oh God, will you put a 10-ounce gold bullion on my desk right now? Well, obviously, God's not going to, that's not how God works. That's not how prayer works. But to them, that's how the state works. That's how their religion is supposed to work is, oh, we ask the state for it, the state provides. Of course, it never happens. It's not how the state works. The state can't provide. But that's what it is. It's an unbridled faith in the state, in the idea of the state being in control, being capable, even though it's never been that way.
Now, some of these Antifa are, you can call them communists / anarchists. They believe they can leap ahead and jump ahead and skip the dictatorship of the proletariat. But of course, they're fools. They'll be used by the real communists, the real dictatorship minded communists. The future Stalins will use them as cannon fodder, and then they'll be wiped out. That's what happened with Lenin. He convinced a lot of the anarchists that hey, if you guys come fight with us and tear down the Tsar, that we will replace it with the utopia. We'll jump right ahead. But core to Marx's theory is a dictatorship of the proletariat. That's the real core of it. Is a dictatorship that never does wither away. They say it will, but it never does. Look at North Korea. It's never going to wither away. It'll be overthrown, perhaps, but not of its own accord will ever sacrifice power. or Cuba.
Boy, I mean, that's a whole nother thing. You know, President Trump going over, meeting with Kim Jong-un, going into North Korea, going into the DMZ, obviously historical stuff. Doesn't get credit for that. Nobody gives him credit for that.
Or not attacking Iran. Showing respect.
When they're trying, or Syria. When they're trying to get war with Iran and Syria, and he's just, oh my gosh, it must be so crazy. All right, let's go back to the phone lines and go to Brianne in California. Brianne, can you show me the tweet from Trump that's racist?
I cannot. I don't know what these leftists are talking about. It's starting to really anger me that they always pull the race card. But I notice that they always say racist if you try to even question them about anything. If you even try to say, you know, if you try to comment any make any point, they just straight go to that. But what I notice is that no matter what he says, no matter what he says on Twitter, no matter what, they're always going to spin it. But Trump is giving them he's giving them opportunity to spin it in a negative way. It's too easy for them to do it.
And like, so isn't that the societal test that we have now? Are people going to take what they see on television and news for face value, or are they going to look and say, what was the tweet that they're talking about it? Because they don't show it. They just mention Trump's tweet is racist. They never quote the tweet. They never show the tweet. Are American people so lifeless, so their curiosity is dead that they can't even look into things for themselves? Because when they look into it, they're going to say, wow, these people are lying. That's how it always goes. But is that not the societal challenge that's really ahead of us right now?
Well, you know what? It's so funny that you bring that up, because it is true. People are just taking things at face value. They're not looking into things, because I think the mainstream media pushes those types of things out because they know that people aren't going to look into it. They know that they're just going to, you know, they're just going to repeat these talking points. Oh, Trump's racist. Trump's this. They're just going to always say those things. They're never going to look into it for themselves. The example that you always give all the time, I hear you say it, is like you put in that movie, they live, you put the glasses on. These people aren't putting the glasses on, Owen. They're not.
What's it going to be? I mean, what do you think it is, Stuart? Because for me, it was just, again, people always have, they say, a red pill moment. For me, it was the Boston Marathon bombing. I don't need to get into specifics, but it was just the first time I watched news, and it was like, I don't trust these guys as far as I could throw them. I got to look into this stuff for myself. And then as soon as you look into it for yourself, you're like, what they're saying on TV is a lot different than reality. Red pill moment. I mean, but so that's the opportunity I think that we have here, though, is with the mainstream media basically lying through their teeth all day long. If people would just look into it, just one layer of research, they can find how, again, I could sit here for 24 hours and take phone calls. Can somebody show me a racist Trump tweet? And you couldn't find one, but you'll find 1,000 headlines.
She made a good point, though, is I think President Trump needs to understand that everything he says is going to be dissected with a microscope. And so he should be, you know, I hate to say it, but careful about how he says it. What he should have said is straight up is, look, you're pushing a communist ideology. And Ilhan Omar, in particular, you are pushing a communist/jihadist ideology. You refuse to condemn al-Qaeda. You stand up for terrorists, try to get them pardoned. You know, relentlessly, you're pushing this ideology that is both Marxist and Islamicist. You don't condemn them.
Let's talk about that. Thank you for the call, Brianne. Let's talk about that. We're still monitoring the Senate hearings, and we'll keep taking your phone calls. Because I think Trump, let's talk about that, Stuart, because I think Trump does understand that, and I think that he plays that into his hand. But I've heard a theory, and we can talk about this on the other side. I've heard a theory about why some tweets are a little bit less thought out than others.
War Room. Infowars.com/show.
If I could walk around and just smash commies, I think I'd do it to this song.
Can you turn that up for me? This is just me just smashing commies. Ugh. Ugh. Come on here. Come over here, commie. Ugh. What, you want some, commie? Ugh. Ugh. And then you take your cold Bud Light. That's how I would do it.
That'll be Joe Biggs on August 17th.
That's how I would do it, at least. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, in fact, we should probably get Biggs on this week. In fact, well, we'll talk about that during the break. But I hope that we don't have to actually get physical in the streets. I hope that's not what happens. I'd like to see America wake up and get to the voting booth and keep these radical Democrats out of office. But let's talk about what we were talking about in the last segment. Because if you take, it's the same thing. You can't show me the racism in Trump's tweets. But again, there's 1,000 articles today saying Trump's tweets are racist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I was saying was a lot of people don't like Trump's tweets. A lot of people think he'd be better off without them. A radio host that I listen to and one that helped Trump get on office, Michael Savage, thinks, and if you actually look into it, there is some truth to it. I don't know about his theory overall, but the timing is the Trump tweets that draw the most ire are the ones that he puts out at 2 and 3 in the morning. Now, Michael Savage, who is a studied doctor, he knows about biology and such. I don't know if you know about his history, but he knows what he's talking about as far as these medical things are concerned. He thinks that Trump's tweets that capture the most ire that are perhaps controversial always come in the morning because he has low blood sugar. And so I don't know about the relevance of that or if there's anything to it, but I think that the president knows they're going to twist everything because I do the same thing on Twitter. I don't really talk about this much, but I do the same thing on Twitter. I know that they're always watching me. I know they want me off Twitter. So I have ways of putting out my message, but wording it right so that if they did say ban me for that, people would just be like, you got banned for that?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that the President Trump is aware of that. So my question to you is, though, do you think it's too much? Because that's a topic of conversation. Should the president tweet more? Should he tweet less? Is it detrimental? Is it helping?
No, I think in the balance it helps him because it shows him fighting back. Like you said before, you know, you wonder why in Congress, for example, someone's not shouting and saying, hey, wait a minute. This is what Trump is doing, and he's a populist president. I would just say, you know, and I've done it, a couple of shots of whiskey, and I tend to get a little more, you know.
Don't drink and tweet.
Exactly.
That'll be the next one.
So, but I think President Trump just needs to be really careful and mindful that, look, man, you know, if you're going to say go back to the country you came from, be specific about why you're saying that.
But that's the thing, though. He, in the tweet, he says, and then come back to your home and tell us how to fix it.
They should have named Somalia is all I'm saying. He should have said, hey, I'm talking about you, Omar. You came from a failed state.
But don't you think that would give them more ammo?
No. Now you're being particular about what you're talking about. If he just leaves it vague and says, you know, go back to where you came from, they can twist that as he's talking about race.
See, but I found that vagueness and nuance are less censorable. Because you can't pinpoint it.
Well,
I don't say a specific thing is racist or whatever.
They're not going to purge Trump from Twitter. I think it's very unlikely.
Well, they would.
I don't think so. I think you should be particular about it. You need to be specific about what he means. Be blunt about it. You are, tell Omar, you are an Islamist apologist, and you're also a radical communist. Call her what she is.
Here's what amazes me, too, because she said, or excuse me, Trump said, I've never met this woman. And, you know, I learned something, too. I may disagree with someone politically all day long. I mean, all day long. But even people that I may disagree the most with, when you meet them, there's just something different. There's a buffer zone that gets drawn down. There's a door that draws down. There's a bridge. There's something that is different. I use Al Green as an example. Man, I couldn't stand this guy. I hear this guy talk, and I'm like, I can't stand this guy. But you know what? I went and I talked to him. We disagreed aggressively. And then we shook hands, and he said, hey, I'm glad I talked to you. And I said, I'm glad I talked to you too. I still think you're a lunatic, you shook my hand and you talked to me.
Right.
Ilhan Omar sits here and talks about Trump all day. She won't even go talk to him in the White House.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why not?
She's not interested. She has no goodwill. She's not interested in dialogue or breaking down that barrier. She wants that barrier there. Plus, she won't answer the question about whether she'll condemn Islamic terrorism or condemn the attack on the ICE facility in Tacoma. She's not going to answer the question.
And to me, if someone, look, if some reporter from BuzzFeed wanted to make a big story, I mean, they wouldn't do it to me, but let's say Alex Jones, say, Alex, do you disavow the terrorism that happened at Charlottesville, or do you disavow violence? Do you disavow political violence or whatever? And Alex said nothing. They'd say, Alex Jones endorses political violence. Alex Jones is okay with political violence. Of course they would.
Yeah.
Of course they would. Even Al Green is smart enough when I say, Al, do you disavow political violence? He says, of course. No one should be assaulted for their politics. I say, Al, I'm being... And he even goes, hey, you should post this video on YouTube. I go, Al, I'm banned. He goes, well, you shouldn't be banned. So even Al Green is smart enough to know better. But these freshman congresswomen, man, they are like kindergartners in a sixth grade algebra class. They don't have a clue.
No, I disagree. I think this is part of their strategy. They're sending a signal to their radical base that what they're doing is fine. That's why they won't condemn the attack in Tacoma, because they want more of that to happen. They will not condemn it because it would send the wrong signal.
Yeah, I think that the fact that none of them said a word means that they were all coached on that, or they all agreed to not comment on that.
Right. Well, they caused it. It was their rhetoric that these are concentration camps, that these are literally, you know, Nazi concentration camps, never again. That rhetoric caused this guy to go over the edge. He's been on the edge for years. That caused him to go over the edge, and they know it.
I was just really glad that CNN and MSNBC and all the mainstream news and publications like New York Times and Washington Post ran that story 24 hours front page. What's that? Oh, they didn't even mention that. Oh, okay. Now I get it. All right, let's take a couple more calls. I'm yet to have a caller tell me Trump's tweets that are racist. We can't find them. Let's try James in New Jersey. Go ahead, James.
Hello?
Yep, go ahead. Oh. Have you found a racist tweet from Trump yet?
Yeah, they're all racist. No, I'm just kidding.
All tweets are racist now. Every tweet, literally every tweet is racist.
Twitter is racist.
Absolutely. I spoke to you not too long ago, Owen, about how they're driving for this civil war, and I gotta kind of agree with Stewart and some of the stuff he was saying yesterday, and even her last caller, how she was saying, you know, it's starting to anger her. I think that's their whole goal. You know, what Stewart was saying yesterday, how they're trying to drive us on the right to be the ones to do something. Finally, I guess, take matters in our own hands.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, because I've talked about, too, it's the same reason why Ilhan Omar wears the fake hijab, the fake headdress. She's not
right. I mean,
she knows that everything that she does in her, if she would do that in a Muslim country, she's done. Yeah, she knows that. Like, the whole reason she does it is to tick people off. The whole reason AOC goes and stages a photo shoot is to anger people.
You know, and they're kind of the ringleaders of the useful idiot, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And again, giving them the green light to do what they do and to try to just piss us off that much more. And I think, you know, inevitably that seems to be the end game, is to just collapse the society and get everybody fighting. I mean,
that's my concern
at this point.
That's why I'm worried about August 17th, is because if we go there and whoop their asses, which we would, and that's what's going to happen.
Well, what the cops are probably going to do it, since they know if
maybe
they don't, someone else will.
Or they'll stop and arrest those who are coming in to go.
It's
do
what
this.
They did last time. It seems like what they do is they let the terrorism happen until people actually show up, like, okay, we're going to stop it. And then the cops say, okay, fine, we'll stop it.
That's what happened in Berkeley twice, actually. Yes, you're right about that.
Yeah.
But one danger is if you show up and go whoop their asses, and let's say one of them dies in the street fight. They'll use that as another Charlottesville. That's the danger for us. He's correct.
Absolutely. James, thank you so much for the call today. I don't want that to happen. I really don't. But, man, I mean, at some point, somebody keeps slugging you in the face.
Well, there's a way to do it. If you want me to talk about it, there's a way to do it, I think, in a more productive way.
Well, the real way to do it would be law enforcement. So we hope they do their job.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Stuart Rhodes needs a new cup of Patriot Blend coffee now. Somebody get this man a cup of Patriot Blend coffee. He's sucking it down. You can get your Patriot Blend coffee from InfoWarsStore.com. If you like coffee, you're going to love it and support the InfoWar. All right. The latest Now This video, known for leftist, just total garbage content, probably the worst you could ever imagine. They just came out with a new Ilhan Omar video, and I'm sure it's going to be a humdinger of FU America. Here is Ilhan Omar on Now This.
And it is really important for people to stay vigilant and understand that patriotism isn't fully believing in a particular administration.
No one said
true
it was.
True patriotism is about fighting for your country and its dignity and making sure that the citizens and the constitution of the country is protected and uplifted.
Now pause.
Once we...
Like, do you see this gaslighting here, Stuart? They're the ones saying open borders. They're the ones that are lawless. They're the ones promoting criminal activity. They're the ones that hate America. They're the ones that protest America. They're the ones that hate the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and so on. And then they say, we need to stand up for patriotism and America, or you're racist. Like, what? So you're getting a hint of Now This. Here, finish the clip.
Protect a particular head of a country, then we lose sight of everything, and that is the biggest sign of trouble to come. And so my fear right now and my biggest worry is when I see people who say, you can't say anything about the president. Because in a democracy, in a country that lives by a constitution that protects the right to free speech,
as they're bitching about his free speech,
you should be able to criticize your president.
Oh my gosh, but
hold your president accountable. You should be able to expect,
but not her.
Yeah, you can't hold her accountable.
Without fear, without being looked at as someone who isn't patriotic.
Just go back to Africa then.
She's projecting.
So I hope this particular confusion that a lot of Americans are having about where their
allegiance
should be, they need to remember that their allegiance is to the Constitution. Their allegiance is to their country. Their allegiance is to its
society. See, they don't get
society.
It. They don't get it, Stuart. They haven't seen Americans yet.
About the particular
They haven't
person.
Seen Americans yet. It reminds me of that scene in The Patriot. You've seen the movie The Patriot?
Oh, of course.
It reminds me of that scene in The Patriot. I forget Mel Gibson's character, but they bully him, they push him, they bully him, they push him. He's tolerant. And then what happens? They kill his kid, they take his other kid, and then what do they find? Then they find an American.
Opens up the chest and opens a can of whoop ass.
Says, all right, kids, we're here to protect what's ours. And they all know how to shoot. They all know how to farm. They all know the plan. And they're all ready to die for the cause. Ilhan Omar hasn't seen an American, I don't think. I don't think she has any clue what an American is. Because they think that America, if I asked a leftist, what does it mean to be an American? They say, being loving and accepting everybody and tolerant. No, my friend. No, that's not being an American. Those are good moral values to have that we embrace. But being an American is about being independent, gritty, and realizing that there's something more important and powerful than you up there. That's being an American to me, saying I'm independent. I want everybody else to be independent. I'm not here to, suck off you. You're not here to suck off me. But that's what they want. That's what they think being an American is. unless you're Obama. Unless you're Obama. Okay. Let's just go to break.
Okay.
This is what it is. Final hour of the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. It's the same reason why Ilhan Omar puts on all the garb that she could never wear in a Muslim country. It's the same reason why AOC goes to a fence and cries. It's the same reason why Rashida Tlaib is rubbing her running nose during a congressional hearing, crying about illegal immigrants. It's the same reason why the average Antifa member doesn't shower for 3 weeks before they show up to a protest. It's all about offending you. It's all about offending you and angering you. That's the gaslighting that they're doing.
Well, that and inciting their soldiers in the streets to go and be additional Sponsons, to be more terrorists. They want that to happen. So they believe that's going to help them in some way. I mean, otherwise they would condemn it. If a person on the right commits terrorism, everyone on the right distances themselves.
Yeah, look at what happened in Charlottesville.
Right.
And I got a lot of heat simply because I don't think that James Fields was a murderer. And you go back and you look at some of the case and they brought up other social media posts and, okay, maybe you understand why the judge made that decision. But to sit here and blame one guy for that whole thing is just absurd. I'm not going to settle for that. The guy had his car beaten in. He had guns brandished and threatened against him. Did he act erratically and kill that woman? Yes. Okay, but that becomes the center point. And wow, look at right-wing terrorists are out here running people over in cars. A total false narrative. But then they go out and firebomb facilities. The ICE facility's one story, Stuart. They firebombed dozens of Republican headquarters in the last 2 years. It just never makes news.
Right.
And so it's just like, I don't get it. Charlottesville is the number one story. Every Democrat brings it up anytime when they talk about Trump's racism and how violent conservatives are.
As though that was a Trump gathering. It wasn't. It was a white nationalist. At the core of it was a white nationalist.
And the whole thing was staged. There were spooks all up in that thing. The cops choke pointed them to cause the whole massacre. It was a disaster waiting to happen. CNN had the beat. They had their camera crew set up. They knew where the torch march was going to happen. The whole thing was contrived. And then Trump says, well, they're trying to take down war memorials, and so veterans are coming out to try to stop it, and they're good people. And then they say, Trump says white nationalist terrorists are good people. More lies.
Right.
And I even got Al Green to admit that in the video. I said, Al, you know there were veterans at the Charlottesville event? And he goes, yes, there were. And I go, those were the good people Trump was talking about.
There were also some 3%er and militia groups that were there too, who were just trying to be a buffer between the different groups who were not actual white nationalists. But there were, you know, Richard Spencer and Identity Europa, there were full-blown actual white nationalists there. That's what everyone focuses on, is them, not the other people that were there who were not of that group.
But it's just so, I mean, say whatever you want about white nationalism, but if you're gonna say, you know, white nationalists are doing this over here, but ignore the leftist terrorists, then you're clearly on one side of the issue. You're clearly promoting violence, but only one-sided.
Well, no, I mean, they're promoting it by saying, their whole thing is to say, you know, everybody on the political right is a Nazi. Everyone's a racist and a Nazi, and they're running concentration camps. And so when they say they're anti-fascist, the anti-fascists are not just about, never have been, only about going and punching Richard Spencer in the face. It's always been about tearing down the United States because the United States is inherently fascist and racist. Their goal is to destroy this country. It's always been that way. That's why they say no borders, no wall, no USA at all.
And that's another part of the gaslighting, too, when they sit here and they say, oh, we love America. We right. love the Constitution. You're the ones that hate America. That's the ultimate form of gaslighting.
Right. Like she just did in the clip we showed.
Yeah.
She's gaslighting, saying she's a true American, while she's sending these signals to the terrorists in the streets, keep tearing down the American flag. You never see her condemn, like in Aurora, where they tore down the American flag and raised the Mexican flag. She never condemns that. She never condemns anything like that.
I'll tell you, I'm not a physical guy. When I deal with these lefties, I always try to keep my patience. When they tear down monuments, call me racist, spit on me, hit me, grab me, whatever, never gotten physical. There was only one time, and that's because there was a lady involved. But I'll tell you, man, I think I would have gone through that whole crowd to stop that Mexican flag from going up. And I don't even care. I have no problem with Mexico. They got their own problems. Thousands of political murders every year. Mexico's a torn country. The cartels run it. I'm not even here to talk trash on Mexico. I live in America. I love America. And these people that put up the Mexican flag, who knows if they're even from Mexico? It's just all about conquering America. It's all about destroying our confidence. It's all about destroying our backbone. That's why I would have sat there. Let's say there's 100 of them out there. I guarantee you I probably could have stopped them still from putting up that flag. It makes me sick that not one single person could stop them from putting that flag up. Makes me sick.
Well, I'm with you. I'm in the same exact way. It wouldn't have gone up.
No, it wouldn't have gone up. They'd have had to kill me. They would have had to kill me to get that flag up. I would have taken on the whole crowd. I'm not even acting like a tough guy. I'm really not. I'm just telling you, man. I mean, that's the symbol of conquer. That's a symbol of we're conquering your land. That's a symbol of you have no future.
And that's their goal. It's never been about, you know, stopping actual white nationalists. It's always been about destroying this country. And that's the whole point of bringing across, you know, millions of new voters to the Democratic Party. This is part of the Reconquista.
By the way, was Colorado even ever part of Mexico?
You might have been at one point.
Yeah. It may have been the farthest north Mexico ever went. It's just, what a joke. It's just these people.
Well, it was part of the Texas Republic at one point, too.
I just can't believe it. They would have raised any flag, though. They would have put up any. Hell, someone could have given them a Russian flag and said, oh, this is the Honduran flag. They've been like, oh, I love Honduras, and put up a Russian flag.
I'm surprised they haven't done that yet. A Soviet flag eventually is going to fly over one of these places. They'll do that.
Oh, there's local groups here in Austin. They go around and spray the communist hammer and sickle in their territory.
Yeah.
They love that. Fine, dude. Be a communist. Go to a communist country then. Like, what the hell are you doing here?
Conquest.
Yeah. Yeah, these guys are really going to conquest something.
Also, that's what they believe in, though. They believe this is their moment to shine and to finally bring in the communist revolution.
They're going to need some help. And while I don't like giving the enemy aid, I'm going to go ahead and do it right now because I'm a nice guy. Super Male Vitality from InfoWarsStore.com is on sale right now. Super Male Vitality is on sale. Guys, let's pull up Super Male Vitality and see what the special we have going, because we've got the $17.76 worldwide special right now. Huge discounts. All right, so we've got $10 off Super Male Vitality. I think we've got a limited supply of this left. I'm not sure. So $10 off Super Male Vitality. I take Super Male Vitality twice a day, once in the morning and then once before my workout. But actually, I've been working out in the morning now, so I do it before and then after. But the Super Male Vitality from InfoWarsStore.com, just read all the reviews. The Super Female Vitality is there as well. Wow, look at the Super Female Vitality. Over 1,000 reviews, 4.7 star rating, 95% positive reviews. I think that's even better than the Super Male. What was the Super Male at 91% positive reviews? Folks, by the way, most products, they get like 80, 90 tops for supplements especially, because there's always such a high expectation. The supplements rarely deliver because they're just fillers. But the InfoWars Life supplements are not just fillers. It's the $17.76 special. Check out all the supplements. And I do a question of the day. Every day for my Subscribestar subscribers exclusively. And the question today asked about what supplements I take before I work out. I take the supplements from InfoWarsStore.com. There's a couple other supplements I take that we don't have. But I'd say about 80% of the supplement stack that I do every day, it's up to about, got to be like 20 pills a day or something. I'm not Ray Kurzweil, who's at like 80, but he's also like 80 years old and thinks he can live forever and bring his father back from the dead into a robot.
Who's this?
Ray Kurzweil. Works for Google. Or he might. I don't know if he does anymore. But the point is, the products are amazing, folks. Please support us. We've got the Patriot Blend coffee. Hey, by the way, Stuart needs a new cup of coffee.
I do.
Stuart needs a new cup of coffee. So we're going to get the crack crew on that works so hard.
They don't even have time to get Stewart's coffee here, but we're going to get that in the break. Patriot Blend Coffee from InfoWarsStore.com. It's my favorite coffee. It's from InfoWarsStore.com. Big sales at InfoWarsStore.com. Jump over to InfoWarsStore.com during this break and support us. Support free speech.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. You could cut ties with all the lies that you've been living in. And if you do not want to see me again, I would understand.
All right, here in the final hour, Stuart Rhodes still with us. We've got callers that have been holding. I'm going to get to your calls, I promise. I've just got some videos I got to go to first. Let's go to, this is Dennis Prager speaking at the Google and Censorship Through Search Engine Subcommittee hearing.
More than any external enemy. In fact, never in American history has there been as strong a threat to freedom of speech as there is today. Before addressing this, however, I think it important that you know a bit about me and the organization I co-founded, Prager University, PragerU, as it is often referred to. I was born in Brooklyn, New York. My late father, Max Prager, was a CPA and an Orthodox Jew who volunteered to serve in the U.S. Navy at the start of World War II. My father's senior class thesis at the City College of New York was on anti-Semitism in America. Yet despite his keen awareness of the subject, he believed that Jews living in America were the luckiest Jews to have ever lived. He was right. Having taught Jewish history at Brooklyn College, written a book on anti-Semitism, and fought Jew hatred my whole life, I thank God for living in America. It breaks my heart that a vast number of young Americans have not only not been taught how lucky they are to be Americans, but have been taught either how unlucky they are or how ashamed they should be. It breaks my heart for them, because contempt for one's country leaves a terrible hole in one's soul, and because ungrateful people always become unhappy and angry people. And it breaks my heart for America, because no good country can survive when its people have contempt for it. I have been communicating this appreciation of America for 35 years as a radio talk show host, the last 20 in national syndication with the Salem Radio Network, an organization that is a blessing in American life. One reason I started PragerU was to communicate America's moral purpose and moral achievements, both to young Americans and to young people around the world. With 1 billion views a year and with more than half of the viewers under age 35, PragerU has achieved some success. My philosophy of life is easily summarized. God wants us to be good. Period. God without goodness is fanaticism, and goodness without God will not long endure. Everything I and PragerU do emanates from belief in the importance of being a good person. That some label us extreme or, quote, haters only reflects on the character and the broken moral compass of those making such accusations. They are the haters and extremists. PragerU releases a 5-minute video every week. Our presenters include 3 former prime ministers, 4 Pulitzer Prize winners, liberals, conservatives, gays, blacks, Latinos, atheists, believers, Jews, Christians, Muslims, and professors and scientists from MIT, Harvard, Stanford, and 12 other universities. Do you think the Secretary General of NATO, or the former Prime Ministers of Norway, Canada, or Spain, or the late Charles Krauthammer, or Philip Hamburger, Distinguished Professor of Law at Columbia Law School, would make a video for an extreme or hate-filled site? The idea is not only preposterous, it is a smear. Yet Google, which owns YouTube, has restricted access to 56 of our 325-minute videos and to other videos we produce. Restricted means families that have a filter to avoid pornography and violence cannot see that video. It also means that no school or library can show that video. Google has even restricted access to a video on the Ten Commandments, as we have seen. Yes, the Ten Commandments. We have repeatedly asked Google why our videos are restricted. No explanation is ever given. But of course we know why. Because they come from a conservative perspective. Liberals and conservatives differ on many issues, but they have always agreed that free speech must be preserved. While the left has never supported free speech, liberals always have. I therefore appeal to liberals to join us in fighting on behalf of America's crowning glory, free speech. Otherwise, I promise you, one day you will say, first they came after conservatives, and I said nothing. And then they came after me, and there was no one left to speak up for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Prager. Mr. Kent. Good afternoon, Senator Cruz, Ranking Member Hirono, and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today. I am the CEO of Digital Content Next, and I'm here to speak on behalf of high-quality digital publishers. DCN is the only association exclusively focused on the future.
All right, so we just heard from Dennis Prager there and Ted Cruz chairing this committee. You know, we just had the social media summit. A lot of good things were said. A lot of people came out of that with some confidence. And while that's all fine and good, we're yet to see action. I will say this. I have noticed a lot of differences on Twitter. I'm banned on Facebook and YouTube, so I can't really tell if there's been any differences as far as usage and consumption there. But on Twitter, definitely. In fact, one thing I can say, my follower count was stuck at 104,000, and it would hover between like 100 and 200. As soon as they shut Twitter down during that social media summit and afterwards, my follower count actually goes up when I gain followers. Isn't that nice? Mm. And so now I've gained 1,000 followers in the last couple of days. But so I'm wondering if Twitter went in there and changed their stuff so that the people that notice the algorithms affecting them aren't getting hit with it anymore.
Yeah.
Because
mine went up too.
Yours too?
Mm-hmm.
So you've been experiencing that same thing.
It was frozen.
Dead, couldn't move. Would not move.
Right.
And I've noticed this with other influencers on social media too. And I've talked to them about it. They say the same thing. Because you don't want to be like, I don't want to be the crazy person, right? I don't want to be the paranoid schizophrenic. But when you've got enough evidence and enough supporting evidence and enough people experiencing the same thing, you think you know what's going on.
Right.
And so I think, you know,
they're in the microscope.
But the biggest trend on Twitter yesterday was Ice Bay. I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah, yeah.
So she started a Twitter account, and she's already being shadow banned, where I followed her, and she put out over a dozen tweets, but I couldn't find them. And I'm like, wait a second. I keep seeing all these people talking about her tweets.
Is this 2 o'clock in the morning or what?
But they never show up. No. This was probably, I don't even know. But the point is, and then I went to her profile and had to go and I had to refresh like 100 times before they even showed up on her profile page. I mean, it's the weirdest stuff going on. She's already got over 40,000 followers. And Ice Bay was like the number one trend, and then it just dropped to 25 out of nowhere at its peak.
Right.
So they're still engaging in this stuff.
Yeah, you can't have a Hispanic female who stands up for the president.
No, you can't have a Hispanic female who works for Border Patrol. That destroys the narrative that they're all racist against brown people.
Right.
Of course, most Border Patrol is Hispanic. Most Border Patrol, I think it's like 50% Hispanic.
It's higher on the border.
Of course. I mean, this is crazy.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. This broadcast might offend
the easily offended.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, I just want to point something out before we pile drive through phone calls here. Jeffrey Epstein is in a jail cell right now. Okay. So, just remember that. Because that's the guy with all the dirt. That's the guy with the temple. That's the guy that had Pedophile Island. That's the guy that had Lolita Express. That's the guy connected to all the Democrats. Okay? And he's still in jail. So just, they don't want you to talk about that. That's the big fish right there. And he sits in jail. And if he doesn't make bail, if he makes bail, he's gone. You'll never see Epstein again. He'll be gone. But if they keep him in jail, folks, that's huge. That decision is coming up Thursday. All right. I also want to say that, well, it's just really incredibly criminal what they're doing to Trump supporters. Alex Jones, Roger Stone, Mike Flynn. It's really just amazing. They now say Roger Stone has a gag order on the Mueller case. He cannot do any social media about it. I mean, just, and that's, all he's guilty of is supporting Trump.
That's grossly unconstitutional.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Where's Ilhan Omar on that?
Where's ACLU on that? I mean, he's being gagged. You know, they're sweeping in protected free speech. He could be prohibited from talking about the case or talking about any investigations, but they can't silence the man.
They don't want him talking about the case because he knows too much.
They don't want to talk about anything.
That's what it comes down to. All right, let's pile drive through some calls. Postmaster dude in Virginia. Go ahead, Postmaster dude.
Greetings. My name is not Postmaster Dude. It's Postmaster Goode, G-O-O-D-E.
All right, Postmaster Goode.
All right, guys, listen, I want to make a quick statement right here about these flags. I know y'all guys were taking calls dealing with the racist comments of Trump. Everybody knows that's a bunch of craziness. I just wanted to state about that is a black supremacist movement, which you guys are seeing right there, backed by a bunch of crazy white people. No offense to you guys about that, but when you look at that very closely, that's what's going on. Now, I want to jump into this. Y'all guys are talking about the flags and the insanity of the it's just unbelievable, man, what these guys are doing to the flag. It burns me up, especially what happened with the flag burning that happened at the summit recently. Now, what I want you guys to realize is this, that when Colin Kaepernick decided that he wanted to come out against the Betsy Ross flag, and everybody saw that flag, and one of the main comparisons that the people made was that Obama had used that same flag during his second inauguration. Y'all guys talked about it. Now, I want everybody to pay attention to that photo when you go look at it very, very, very closely, because the flags that Obama had behind him were not Betsy Ross flags, and they were not American flags. Every flag that Obama had behind him during the second inauguration was backwards. They were flipped. Those are New World Order flags. Those flags are 1 to 2.25 in dimensions. Now, if anybody does their history, they know about President Taft setting the flag standards for the Title IV flag. Okay, it should be a 1 to 1.9 dimension. There shouldn't be any extra color, dimension, or anything on the flag that violates flag code, Title IV. Obama had a New World Order flag. All his flags were backwards. They were Betsy Ross flags on either end. They were flipped backwards. And then on a side of those were two Treasury flags. And then in the middle was the American flag. All of them were backwards. What did those guys just do when they went down to the border? They took the flag. They took the American blue stripe flag and flipped it upside down. Anybody know a flag upside down is a stress or war? Duterte from the Philippines flies his flag upside down because he has a crisis there dealing with the people there with the drug addicts. And sure enough, 3 years ago in 2015, they raised a Chinese flag in front of the state capitol in Washington. We got a bunch of anti-American Marxists here. They need to be stopped, and they need to be stopped now. But the problem is that a lot of people, a lot of young Americans and older Americans do not understand flag protocol. These yellow fringe flags are illegal. They have yellow fringe on them. They're only for parades only and also court capture. You guys go look in the courts and go check the courts, and you'll see them right in there. I wanted to educate the American people on that so you guys can understand what you're looking at. Flags are contracts. They're not pieces of paper. They're not just cloths that you fly out there to support your country. They're actually contracts. So I wanted to get that delineation on.
Stuart, did you have any response?
Well, your first point, you said this is a black nationalist or black supremacist movement. What are you referring to?
I deal with my people all day, okay? And a lot of this, is you look at the ladies up on the stage, these four so-called minorities, and they're being backed by so-called what they call white nationalists. Well, I call these guys just communists. But what they're trying to do, a lot of my people have been trying to supplant American history with black history. That's all they want to do. Each and every time I talk to these pro-blacks, it's the same thing out their mouth. They're Marxists. Cornel West, Don Cheadle, all these guys. They are anti-American Marxists that don't know history. And what they want to do, they want to take the slave history that happened there, the Moorish, what they call the Moorish history of the blacks, and they want to try to supplant that over America. You go listen to any of these Moors, and they'll talk to you about like Tar Sharif Bey or Sassetti and all these other guys. They're militants, and they claim that America's Morocco. So I just want everybody to understand that aside from what y'all are seeing here, there's also a pro-black Marxist movement that's underlying. That's what the Black Lives Matter is. Everybody knows that's funny about George Soros, there are people in my culture. They are militant, and that's what the Black Israelites are like. Those guys, what they're trying to do is supplant Black history over all. That's what Ilhan Omar's trying to do. She's trying to take.
Yeah, and it's amazing too. This is a great caller. I wish we could keep you on. We got to go to other calls. It's amazing too that you have all of these white liberals that hate white people too, and so it's just this weird dynamic where you have. I like what Postmaster Goode says. It's a black supremacist movement, and these white liberals hop on board to win social justice points. They don't understand how they're just fodder at the end of the day.
Right.
And it's really an incredible thing to witness. Thanks for the call, Postmaster Goode. Great call. Let's go to Brandon in Texas. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, Owen. Thanks for taking my call, man. God, that last caller was awesome. You need to get him on Alex's call-in show. Because there's some French flags here in Lockhart now that he mentions it to me, and I'm real curious why they're flying French flags here in downtown Lockhart. Anyways, I called because, man, what a great day where after hearing Alex say, and you, Senator Rosenthal, are a liar and a fraud, and how many months later you fast forward to today, we've got Google in these judiciary hearings, and whose name rings through the court again? Alex, they talk about Alex Jones, and who said it? Senator Blumenthal.
What did Donang Dick say?
Well, they started talking about the victims again, man, and had the role. See, here's what's interesting is the left and the right are kind of attacking Google right now. It's pretty interesting, but they talked about
Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren, it really is. I haven't heard many other Democrats come out against Google.
Oh, I just mean asking for audits and stuff like that. One of the things that resonated about what Rosenthal said is he wants them audited, which that's what everyone on the right agrees with. But the point is, the boogeyman came back up, big old Alex Jones, and, you know, like what? I couldn't believe it. That's awesome. It's amazing.
Well, they can't stand that Alex is on air. They can't stand InfoWars. They can't stand that we have influence. They can't stand that we helped get Trump in office. That's really what it comes down to. Thanks for the call, Brandon. Let's squeeze Jefferson in here before the break. Go ahead, Jefferson.
Hey, Owen and Stuart, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
When it comes to tweeting, you can't win. But saying that when a white man says to the world, go back where you came from, anyone of color is going to think, oh, well, he's talking to us, because that's what Americans said to immigrants and migrants and guest workers for more than a century. If you didn't like what was going on, you can always go back where you came from. So they consider that racist.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is he did leave himself open for that. Is that your point, that he was not as careful as he should have been about how he said it?
And it doesn't matter how careful you are, it's always going to be considered code words or a dog whistle. They're always going to have some excuse for making it racist.
Right.
Yeah, he could say, wow, this was an amazing donut I had for breakfast. And they'd say, look at the president's racist, bigoted donut tweet. We'll have a full news, breaking news on CNN. Hour-long coverage. Trump tweets about donuts. Is it bigoted?
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Final segment with Stuart Rhodes here. We were about to smoke a really big blunt in the break, but we just decided we're just going to wait till we get off air because it'd be too cloudy in here. All right. So I'm going to take one more call, and then I'm going to go to this Tucker Carlson video. Again, Stuart Rhodes with us in studio all day, oathkeepers.org. It's been great. Rich in Utah, final caller of the day. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, Owen. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks, Stuart Rhodes, for your patriotism.
Thank you.
The one thing I want to say is, can we get the, 34-hour broadcast on the app? So, when the 34-hour takes place, can we get it, on the Alex Jones or David Knight segment on the app? And
well, I will just say you're talking to the wrong person because I don't have an answer. But,
No,
you got the intel to us, and I know that our crew is all listening and IT is listening.
It'd be amazing because there's a lot of us that, I'm a gay truck driver, gay Trump supporter, gay Infowars supporter and all that stuff. But it'd be nice if there's segments where I can get it on the app, and then there's segments where I can only get it online, and it's come on. it's kind of one of them, Tetris things or whatever you want to call it.
Rich, I hear you. And part of the frustration we deal with the censorship is, trying to find ways to make it all work, have an effective app, pay for all the bandwidth. I don't have an answer for you. We hear you. We'll get the message to the powers that be. The best answer I can give is just continue to support us at InfoWarsStore.com so we can hire more people, pay for more bandwidth. I'm afraid that as we near the presidential election, we're going to have to pay for double the bandwidth we normally pay because people are going to be looking for our stuff and we're not on YouTube and all of this stuff anymore.
Can I ask him a question? So as a gay Trump supporter, how do you feel about someone like Omar who says nothing about how gays are treated across the world in Islamic countries? How does it make you feel about the gaslighting that she's throwing at us about how horrible our country is while she says absolutely nothing about what is done in these countries to people like you?
It upsets me. I mean, I wear my InfoWars stuff proud. I wear my Trump stuff from InfoWars proud. And I walk in and I can be held up anywhere from 2 to 6 hours from being loaded or unloaded because of my First Amendment right. But yet I can walk into a truck stop and then I can see a certain race and they got a F Trump shirt and it says the whole word. And I have no problem with that. It's his First Amendment. It's my First Amendment. And
she makes us sick. I think that's really what it comes down to. She just makes us all sick. And it's too bad because, a lot of immigrants that come here, thank you for the call, Rich. In fact, I don't know if I could really break it down as much, logistically with data, but immigrants come here as some of the most patriotic people that you're ever going to meet.
Look at Andy Ngo and his family. They fled communism in Vietnam, and they came here. They're patriotic.
You go to some of these events, too, and the most patriotic people that won't even stop waving a flag for 3 hours. You go talk to them. Yeah, I migrated here from Mexico. Yeah, I came here. I remember I met a woman who came from Egypt. She was a political prisoner in Egypt. She was able to get here and became a citizen. This was at the RNC. Most patriotic. She couldn't stop talking about America and how great it was. She couldn't stop talking about how excited she was for President Trump. And it's just really at the end of the day, it comes down to these leftists, these liberals, these Democrats. I don't know if it's they don't want to see reality. I don't know if they're not looking at it. I don't know if they don't care. But they just literally don't live in reality. They only see and hear what they want to. Everything else, they just cancel out because it's somehow illegitimate. Justified, it's racist. Bigot,
well, if you're black or Hispanic, they'll call you a race traitor. They're doing that right now.
Yeah.
All over Twitter, you're a race traitor if you support
it's Trump. So racist. I mean, it's like the only racism exists really on at least in mass. I mean, you can find racism wherever, but in mass, it's the Democrat Party. It's the average leftist liberal that's a racist. All right, let's go to this Tucker Carlson report breaking down how the Democrats are refusing to condemn Antifa terrorism.
Well, it's not an overstatement to say the left's attacks on America's border security suddenly have become an attack on America itself. On Friday, at an ICE facility in Aurora, Colorado, hundreds of extremists stormed the grounds. They pulled down an American flag and tried to burn it. Then they sent a Mexican flag up the flagpole to replace it. The display was awful, and it was deeply revealing of their motives. But what happened on Saturday in Washington State was even worse than that. Willem von Spronson, he was linked with the Antifa domestic terror movement, attacked an ICE facility in Tacoma. He was carrying an AR-15 and firebombs. He torched several cars that apparently hoped to burn the facility to the ground. He was shot dead before he could kill anyone. Online, members of Antifa celebrated their fallen comrade. Facebook banned Alex Jones,
yeah,
as you know.
Just like the one radical Democrat that shot up the Republican baseball practice.
Antifa groups, including the Seattle Anti-Fascist Action branch of Antifa. On Facebook, that group posted this quote: "When our good friend and comrade Willem von Spronson took a stand against the fascist detention center in Tacoma, he became a martyr who gave his life to the struggle against fascism. Today we stand strong in our support for yet another martyr in the struggle against fascism. May his death serve as a call to protest and direct action." Keep in mind, it's a lunatic who showed up with a semi-automatic rifle, the kind they want to ban, by the way. Van Spronson may have failed, but others should imitate him in launching more terror attacks on American soil. That's what they're saying. Facebook doesn't have a problem with that, of course. Well, you think all of this would spark some concern. Liberals might tell us it's time for a national conversation, maybe gun control. No. Antifa has the implicit support of the respectable left. So far, not a single Democratic presidential candidate has condemned Saturday's attack. Hard to believe that's true. We hope we're wrong. Maybe they condemn them during this show. But as of right now, we believe, again, hope we're wrong, that not a single Democrat running for the nomination has condemned a terror attack that took place on our soil yesterday, Saturday. But why would they condemn it? They're on board with it. Just a few weeks ago, the New York Times published an op-ed calling ICE agents complicit in, quote, mass atrocity, and then called for ICE agents to have their names and home addresses publicized. So why should we be surprised when people try to murder ICE agents? Kim Kelly, who describes herself as the labor columnist at Teen Vogue, paused for a second and just let the absurdity in. The labor columnist for Teen Vogue. That's how insane this moment is we're living in. Anyway, the labor columnist described Van Spronson's terror attack as, quote, righteous sabotage. She compared him to partisans fighting against the Nazis and then called for more terror attacks, quote, as Van Spronson and the many other heroic comrades before him have made clear, there are many ways to fight back against a violent fascist regime. Perhaps it's time for more of us to put our thinking caps on. The decadent rich really are unbelievable. And Kim Kelly is, of course, a member of the decadent rich. So is all of Antifa. These are the most privileged people in our society, of course. This isn't the working class rising up. This is the ruling class punching down. When Kim Kelly, by the way, isn't writing about the labor movement for teenage girls, she's also a contributor at NPR. You couldn't make this up. In other words, government-funded news outlets are directly spreading the message of people who promote the murder of government officials. It's sick. This country's laws cannot survive when powerful people endorse violence against those who enforce the laws. And a country can't survive when it's run by people who hate it.
And by the way, if we held them to the same standard they hold us, the headlines today would be across the board: Ilhan Omar, Cortez, Presley, and Tlaib endorse terrorism. That's what it would be.
Caused it.
Caused, endorsed, and want more. And here's one final clip. Now leftists are showing up at ICE facilities and blocking workers from getting in. So they show up, and again, it's the same type of radical leftists you would expect. They look like total degenerates, and they're locking arms, stopping people from going to work. It's just, I can't believe this is where we're at societally, where the most degenerative, scummy lowlifes are being empowered.
Where is security?
Not doing their job. Stuart Rhodes, oathkeepers.org. Great stuff today. That does it for the Infowars.com War Room. You stay classy, Info Warriors.